chat meeting number two.
Is it recording?
Yes, thank you. It is January 20th, 2026, 5 p.m. We're in the Anchor Wellness Center. We are recording. I call this meeting of the check to order at 5.06 p.m.
10 seconds.
Thank you. Did anybody sign up for public comment?
No.
We're going to go ahead and move on to the next agenda. Can we pull up the minutes from the last meeting there in the next table? So this is from our October 25th meeting. If everyone wants to kind of review it quickly.
Speed read.
I should have copies of that.
Very intently.
Yeah, hold on.
Where
does that say, why does it say DEIC now changed to check?
Because we were using DEIC, but the
requirements.
The requirements are that the school district has to have a SHAC committee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, is everybody done?
Does anybody need more time? No? Okay. Good. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting?
So moved.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
None.
Okay. Let's see. We will now confirm compliance requirements. We will post the minutes after 10 days. We are recording. And Ms. Gubling is taking notes. So, do we have any reports and updates? So then we'll move on to the next agenda, or the first agenda item, which will be counseling services and support.
Yay, that's me.
Hello.
Okay, so I'm going to do a district counseling services overview for the district, and then I'm going to have each of my counselors talk about their campus and what they provide for the district, or for their campus, sorry. So for the district counseling services, we do have a wellness center. This is our fourth year with the wellness center open. This is the first year that we have a full-time LPCA, which is myself. And so instead of having Camino provide somebody, there was a lot of change with them and counselors, so the district decided it'd be better to have our own full-time LPCA, so that's why I'm there now. I service all the students in the district, so I see all of the kids from the different campuses. Right now I'm capped at 20 students because I can't take on any more than that. But hopefully next year I'll be able to take in a few more because there's a big need. There's a really big need for that. When I see these kiddos, and like I explained to the parents, this does not take the place of specialized care. So if there's kids need something more specific, then I refer them out to like Clarity or Camino, and then they're able to test them and they can get further help there. Then the way that I get the students referred to me is through the counselors from each campus. They have to fill out a form. Well, we staff first, talk about the student, decide if they need me or do they need something more specialized outside. So then we're able to refer to Camino, we refer to K-Star, we use South Texas Rural. We're very limited here and vital as far as what organizations we have locally. So we do have to refer to San Antonio, but then it makes it hard on the parents to get their kiddos over there. But that's how we decide where the students go. And then aside from that, like I said, we have a counselor on every campus, and I will let them talk about what they offer the students. But those are the things that I will offer for the district, how I'll be seeing them or getting them. We hope to expand on that, and I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end when we talk about what things to come and that we're hoping to implement in the future. But that is district-wide what we're offering right now. So I'm going to let the primary talk first about what she does on her campus for our students' wellness and social-emotional needs. So Ms. Dudley?
So at the primary level, we're building the foundation for social-emotional wellness that's necessary for academic success for these kiddos. Because we know that kids won't learn unless they feel seen and feel safe. So the cornerstone of that program is our guidance lessons. These are classroom lessons that we bring to our students. Things, concepts like friendship, empathy, and conflict resolution are things that we focus on so that the kids have the tools that they need to ensure that they're successful. Also, we do check-ins for those students who need a little bit more individualized. Next is just post-check moments to make sure that they're where they need to be. Work to bridge the gap between home and school. So we have parent resources that we, like Tepsico and Counselor's Corner, that we pair up with the elementary to bring those together. And then we have our campus website that has resources for the parents as well. And practical parenting tips to help keep us all on the same page. We look to the future through career days, I would say also through the Real Man Wave program, because we bring in individuals from the community, good role models, male role models from the community, to read to our first graders, which gives them a little insight because they see people from different walks of life, and it's really kind of nice. And finally, we support our adults who lead the way. We have Wellness Wednesdays every month where we do an arts and crafts project, gives them time, the teachers and the administration time to get together and blow up a little steam and get rid of some of the stress for the week and just have a little fun. So that's why we do that.
Ms. Barbosa?
At that elementary, I'm able to continue with the classroom guidance lesson. This month we're talking about goal setting, talking about the new year, so what are things we didn't accomplish, we still want to keep working on. The kids have a lot of ideas. A big focus in the fall with our small groups was our dance fund, so I was able to help with 81 new student enrollment, and 59 of them were new to LIDL, and so as a campus we saw the need to help them learn the LIDL culture, the campus culture, and so I did lunch bunch where I gathered data from the teachers, which are the students that are struggling, who would be good, from there we get permission from the parents for them to participate. So we finalized those in December. Moving on to the spring, where I'm going to focus on self-regulation. So again, I get input from the teachers, then permission from the parents to see those students in small groups. Like Ms. Dudley said, we do the coffee with counselors, and where we share the resources in the fall. Our topic was anxiety and how to help parents help their students with the anxiety, right? We've got this year, so I really enjoyed that, and that was like my culture. So with the ESL families, sharing resources and helping them in their language. I do have the website that all of our campuses in the district do. My principal shares that with parents every month through the parent newsletter. There's a link on there, and you can also find it in the I do have appointment requests to see counselors for parents. The parents are able to scan a QR code on the website. And the teachers, I had, the teachers have an icon on their class leave, which is a Google form where they can send their request for me to see their schools. And anytime they find, they can let me know if they need to talk. But this helps me documentation and staying organized and all that. Our school-wide awareness activities, when there was fun with the Union of Disabled Planning for Promise, Riverton Week, and we're working now on Planning for Kindness Week.
Thank you. Ms. Hi, I'm the counselor for the junior high. I guess our main thing is transition, because we are transitioning from elementary to junior high. We're now coming up into second semester, so everything we do is getting to the next level. So I need to make sure I'm coordinating also with Ms. Barbosa. Are my fifth graders going to be ready for next school year? I need to work with high school. Are my eighth graders ready for the next school year? And then keeping that in line with everything, we try to keep everything with all the months on the organization, but just to do some back history, in November we were already starting our careers, because now in January we're starting our goals, where do we want to go? Because in February and March, now we're coming into career planning for our collection of classes. So everything is always done with one step ahead. Where do we need to be to make sure we can get from there? For everything we do, I think you can have the same things they do at the elementary and high school, but there's a lot more hands-on experience with the kiddos advocating for themselves. Sometimes they don't share with their parents, they share with us first, because one, we're probably there, or maybe we just don't think parents understand, whatever the case may be. But, you know, you see a lot more advocacy for the kiddos at this age, which is really good in the secondary, because that's what you want them to be. So one of the blessings that we have in the secondary, and I take full advantage of, is TCAP, which is through the University of Texas Health Science Center, and that has been another resource that we have used for counseling. And one of the great things that I have done it actually as a parent and also as an educator, but they were able to hook my own child up, who is diagnosed with ADHD, with a behavioral management doctor to make sure, like a second opinion, which I didn't even know, and we have actually had some kids diagnosed with ADHD. We had some that were diagnosed with anxiety and depression through the psychiatrist, through the University of Texas. So there's been some beautiful things come out through TCHET. We, of course, can have kiddos do it, counseling online. It's not as easy for little kids. And then I guess just last more thing, we're going to have our career day coming up in March, so we're excited about that. And we do our website, and my sisters know how to get on the website because they did this big goal from last week. All right, okay. All right, thank you.
All right, so high school is a little different. It's kind of that transition period as well. We do a lot of academics. We do the individual planning this year. Ms. Maldonado and I reviewed every goal. We review all transcripts, obviously, but we met with every single senior. We did their senior audit to make sure that they had all of their graduation requirements, they were in the correct classes, and then met with those students and then had them relay the information, take it home, so have their parents sign to understand. We also planned a senior night to talk to them about what was required for the rest of the year, and then we also had a FAFSA night as well. So, and then we went into the classrooms and helped our seniors with the FAFSA, so that is a graduation requirement to do. So those are just some of the parent nights. We have some of them that we're planning. We're going to be doing the 8th grade in February. Don't even call us in February, because we're going to be busy. No. We're going to be doing a meeting with the 8th grade parents. We're going to have it paired up with elected PCE night. It's going to be pretty big. And then we'll be going into those 8th grade classes and having them do the little presentation and having them choose their classes. And then the day after, going in and doing their four-year plan, because all eighth graders are supposed to have a four-year plan when they enter high school. And then we have dates already scheduled. I don't know them off the top of my head, but we already have 11th, 10th, and 9th graders scheduled to go into their classrooms as well.
In February.
In order to course selection. We do have a dual credit night that we're planning for the kids that are interested in doing any type of dual credit for PFIT. And so that is also, I believe, as a way to 12th, if I'm not mistaken. Some college visits that we have been able to assist with, which will go with the 8th graders so that they can kind of go and check out to see what PTEC or what Lytle High School has to offer for PTEC. And then it was just kind of to look at everything, all the other programs that they have there. I do not know if we have ever done college visits here, but that's something that we would be very interested in bringing next, hopefully next year, taking a small bunch of kids to different colleges. And let me see, career day, I think we're still working on that. Mm-hmm. But I would like to have a college fair next year because I don't really have a college fair. And I signed up through one of the websites and to see about having, because they do theirs, I want to say in November. So we would have them come and then that would be for our 11th and our 12th graders. And that would be during the day. Individual check-ins, we always see our DADP kids when they come back. We do a mandatory 6 weeks, once a week for 6 weeks, just to kind of see how they're getting back into their old schedule, how are things, social, emotional, academically. And then, of course, we do have our other students that just need a little bit of support. That they'd like to come in, but sometimes we have to let them know you have to check with your teachers and you have to fill out a referral, which is an awesome idea that Ms. Melvin always brought with her to put that on our class link. And so
it's on the website too, just a small referral. Yeah. And for the students, the parents can do it, the teachers can do it.
And so we always have that open, so we're always monitoring those, and we designed it so that way we have different priorities, so the ones with the highest priority or if they can wait a day or two, and then the reasoning as to what we're seeing them for. And then, do you want to talk about the message?
Yeah, so we have a high school council webpage, so it's on there. I actually updated it today with all the scholarships and the local scholarships coming in. I'm putting up, I just added one that came in today. So that's on there. I try to update it for sure once a month, but I try to go into those more. As soon as I have information that I feel is important, I will update the webpage. And then, what else? Our mental health lunch activities, we just started them in January. We had our first one last week? It was last week. So it was focused on letting it go, so anything that was weighing them down in 2025, we let them write it down and they just kind of threw it away and we told them we showed it for them. And if you were there at lunch last week, you could have heard Let It Go playing over and over.
And they were all singing, they all liked it, and they, at first they were a little hesitant, but it was something that they were, very interested in asking us if we were doing anything next month.
We already have that plan. We're going to help focus on healthy relationships in this Valentine's Love Month. We're going to focus on healthy relationships, friendships, things like that.
Coffee with the counselor.
Yeah, we did one last semester. We did coffee with the counselor. We did coffee with people. It was a very good turnout for both. And I know we have coffee to plan for February, and we have coffee counselors plan for March. So we're going to separate them. Is that it?
I said, talk a little bit about schedule changes. We hate schedule changes, but we know that sometimes they're necessary. But we try to put a time window. Yeah, so usually at the beginning of the year, it's the first 2 weeks of school, just to make sure, we get any kinks out. And then usually after, when they come back, the same thing. So hopefully, maybe next year we'll limit it down to only 1 week. So, but for the most part, we just want to make sure that the students are in the correct classes and getting that credit that they need for graduation.
Okay, I think that's it. Thank you. So I'll just talk real briefly about student access, referrals, and family engagement. So the ladies pretty much talked about how the students get to them. So they can either, the junior high and the high school can self-refer the counselor. Teachers can refer. For the younger ones, teachers usually refer to the counselors. So there should always be a process for that where either they can scan the QR code or counselors have developed a form that they share with teachers to fill out to refer students. The campus counselors are the ones who refer to me at the Wellness Center, so that's how that works. We do a staffing and then decide where the student needs to go. For family engagement, the ladies did talk about we do coffee with the counselor,
we do the cafecitos, and we do the parent sessions, which we do those through Region 20. And we have the parents come in, and then we Zoom with Region 20, and they'll talk about whatever topic we decide to do. So that's how we do access, referrals, and family engagement. Our strengths, challenges, and considerations for growth. So our strengths right now are that we do have a full-time LPCA for extra support, which helps the counselors out. We have a partnership with our local mental health agency, so Camino Real, K-Star, Children's Alliance, we have partnerships with them, so that's a help as well, that's a strength. Challenge is that we have lack of local specialized mental health agencies. There is nobody here in Lytle. We don't have that. And so we do have to refer out to, like, to our, to Clarity, to Bereavement Center. And like I said, we do that, but it's challenging for our parents to follow up because they have to go to San Antonio. So it's a little challenging. Another challenge is with SB 12 that limits what the counselors are able to do and not do without parent permission. So everything that we do with the students, the parents have to know and they have to agree to it. They can opt out. So if we have a student that is, making a suicidal outcry, we have to ask the parent permission before we can do the screener, like we would do the screener to see where, how severe it is. But now we have to stop the student and say, okay, hold on, we have to call your parent and ask permission to do this. And parents are saying no. And so that's kind of hindering the counselors from helping those students. So that's a challenge for us. We've always been transparent about what we do with the students. If a student comes in and they're upset and crying or we need to talk to them, we do let the parents know we talk to them, but now it's gone beyond that. We have to have permission for everything we do. So that's a challenge. Growth, we're trying to get more family engagement. We want to get our parents involved, and we're trying to do these parent sessions. We had a pretty good response last year when we did it with the parents. I think by the end of the year, we had like 20 parents that would show up for the sessions, which was really good because we started off with like maybe 5 or 6 parents. So it grew. And so we're hoping to continue that. We need growth there. Also, I'm looking at forming a grandparent support group because, as we all know, we have a lot of grandparents that are raising their grandkids. They are the guardians. And that's a big challenge for them. So I'm trying to start a support group for that. It's through the Texas Grandparents Raising Grandkids is the name of the organization. So I'm hoping to bring that in for our grandparents. And then also growth, I'm trying to bring in more self-training for our teachers and staff. So that's an area that we need to grow in because we focus a lot on academics for our academic training for our teachers and staff, but we do very little of the social-emotional training. So that's an area that we need to grow in as well. So that is it. Mm-hmm.
That's going to lead us right into student wellness and health services and medical treatment. I'm going to kind of caveat also the counselors and say that I think we kind of try to work very closely with the counselors at each campus. If you don't know, I'm the district nurse. My name is Barbie Cashin. My office is at the elementary school. You may never see me there. Or you may. But I'm usually bouncing around from place to place during the day. I also service all of the students in the district, depending on the need. If I need to fill in at a clinic, or if they just need help, or if there's something extenuating going on at that campus at the time, I'll come, to wherever I'm needed. A lot of times in the nurse's office, this is where we catch some of those patterns that need to get referred out to these ladies here. They want to come to the nurse every day because maybe they have a headache or a stomach ache, but really they're trying to get out of one particular situation, and we try to pick up on those before it becomes a bigger problem. These ladies are really great about coming to us, listening to what we have to say, and then hearing those kiddos out and getting those out there. Outside of that, then we see them all for anything medical, anything they want to come in for, whether they got a splinter in their finger yesterday or today, or they don't feel good, they have a sore throat, or they're really very sick and they have something, something emergent going on. SB 12 affected us as well. Even though it's slightly differently because we still call the parent every time anyways also. The parents fill out, if a lot of you have kids in the district, you know that you fill out the medical form at the beginning of the year, which gives us consent to treat your student in the event of an emergency. We also, under the guidance of Dr. Hack, we keep medications in each clinic, and he gives us standing orders at the beginning of the school year, so anything I have there with those orders I can give to the students as long as parents gave us permission. But we're still going to call. So they say, well, I already filled out the paper. I know. But what if you gave the medication this morning and I need to know, I don't want to give it on top of there, I don't want to do anything that's not safe, so we're still going to call anyway to kind of double down on that safety and consent portion of it. Most of the time, parents are receptive for that. Sometimes, just like the safety screeners, they don't want us to treat their kid at all. They don't even want their kid to come to the nurse. So that is challenging for us. It's helpful if we can, you know, kind of have everybody on board to let these kids know that it's okay and this is a safe space. And, you know, we're here to help them, not to hurt them. If there's anything emergent going on, obviously that's going to trump everything else, and we'll take care of the emergency first and then go down the line from there. Then as far as the student health plan, that's a little tricky. So any student that has any kind of medical condition outside of the norm gets a health plan. So you may see it, you may not see it. If it's, you know, extenuating and pertinent to your classroom or to your services that you provide, you'll get a copy of it. But I keep those in my office, and we keep a copy of them in the student's file, and along with their food allergies. So the food allergy form gets filled out at the beginning of the year with the medical form, and most of the time it's filled out. Most of the time it's filled out, or sometimes we get a call, you know, either they didn't know, or they didn't tell us until something maybe happened. But once we get that information, then we take that out to Miss Amy in the cafeteria, and she's wonderful, and her ladies are wonderful about putting it into the computer so we know that kid gets flagged when they come up to get something in the cafeteria. Hey, they can't have this or they can't have that. We try to get as much documentation as possible. Sometimes that's tricky with some of the parents. They either didn't know to ask for it, or, you know, can't find it, or can't get back. They may not have the resources to get back to the doctor's office to get that paperwork. So we try to work with them with any extra documentation they can get us, but for the most part, they're pretty good about updating us on the food allergies. If there's any specific food allergy that needs to be known in the classroom, we'll get that information out to you guys as well, along with any training that goes with it. Anything?
Like Mrs. Carson was saying, that so on the computer, if a child, even if mom and dad says, hey, they can't have milk, so we'll flag it, even if I don't have a doctor's note because I don't want a child to get sick, you know, we'll flag it. We'll give them the dairy ease until we get the documentation. But we're very careful about trying to get that documentation, because I can get in trouble if I'm not giving them the meal that's provided and doing other services, but I'm not going to take any chances with our kids. So, I'm, you know, we're just going to go ahead and we're just going to do it until we get that documentation. And Bobby's really good about making sure that, you know, she gets me the information as soon as possible so we can flag it, and then me and my managers have a meeting so everybody's on board with the process.
I think that's okay. Anybody have any questions? No? So that leads us to our next meeting. It is in March 17th, after spring break, when we come back from spring break. And that'll be here before we know it.
Yeah.
Do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
That's a motion.
On a second night.
On favor? All right, good. Okay. We are adjourned.